different albums there and just grab it, take it. He's giving it out for free. Thank you, Dennis, very much. Want to announce that? These little cards are in the
back.
Can
you zip up my backpack?
It tells us who we are. Church on the Beach. If you want to grab a couple of these and invite friends or neighbors, you're welcome to take one with you to remind you. And Ross and Daniel. Daniel was the tall guy playing the guitar earlier during the worship. And Ross, the pastor, they're going on a missions trip to Malawi in June. So they're raising support for that. And so if you would like to donate directly to them in the tithe envelope here or write a check, if you put in the memo, Africa Mission, it's going to go directly to help them. Just FYI, it goes straight to them. So if you want to do that, you can. The Bible study, which is normally every Tuesday night in El Segundo at the Lynn's house. They're here somewhere. Can't see them in all this crowd. This week there's none because of the spring break, so there's no group this week only. Otherwise, they get together at 6:30, has some food beforehand, and it starts at 7. That's at 811 Main Street in El Segundo, and that's on the website as well. You can find that there. Lastly, we have Bibles, and we purchase these intentionally for those of you who would like to take a Bible home and you want to open the Bible when Ross is teaching. Raise your hand, and Chris has a bunch of them in his hand. If you want to have one now, raise your hand and he'll grab and just give it to you. If you want to read off of it, you can. So those are there for you to take with you, okay? And I think that's it.
Okay.
Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Good morning. Who's here from Oregon or Washington? Well, we wanted to provide the weather that you're used to. So it was kind of late. It came at the last second. I heard it was clear and sunny earlier, but it got here just in time. So hope y'all enjoy it. But I'm glad y'all are here. And wow, what a great group today. What a blessing. By the way, we did go to the Dream Center yesterday. We had a nice outing over there. It was an unusual one because we were at Nicholson Gardens, which is the largest project west of the Mississippi. And normally there's a lot of kids out and people everywhere, and I thought it's awfully quiet. And we gave out some different items. We had a raffle. And then one of the people that live in the projects came to the leaders and said, "You guys are not safe because someone got killed last night because of the Nipsey Hussle stuff going on. And Jordan Downs is going to come and retaliate." So the bus came and picked us up and took us out of there to Imperial Courts, which is another project where there's a different gang that wasn't at war. And so we did an Easter egg hunt over there. There was a bunch of kids there, so ended up being safe. And we all made it back nicely. But it was a great time to get out and just see a whole nother world right down the freeway, 20 minutes from here in Watts, and give back and show the love of Jesus. So if you ever want to do that with us, it's usually not a time that we have to leave because of danger. I've never had that happen. And I've been going Dream Center since 1996, but God always keeps us safe. So, all right, normally we get together and we answer three questions, but since we had the baptism today, I'm going to go right to the message. But I want you to be thinking about our three questions for next week. What is your high of the week, your high and your low? What are you reading in the Bible? And who are you going out to? Who are you praying for? Who are you trying to reach with the love of Jesus? So when we come back next week for Easter, be ready to answer those questions. And those are good questions, aren't they? You know? And I've found that it's been building community when we do that. Building community. All right. So today is Palm Sunday. And this is the first day of Passion Week when Jesus came to Jerusalem. I titled this, "Jesus Came to Save Us," because that was his mission when he came to Jerusalem. Before I start, I'd like to pray. I thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for all these guys that have come down to the beach to see Joe's baptism and celebrate life with him. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to us as we sit and listen and read, that you'll open our mind to understand your word, and that it'll be applied to our life so that we can walk away richer and ready to love people. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you take a look at the handout that I gave y'all, I don't know if everybody has one, they're in the back. But this is a drone's view of Passion Week overview. And it has all the days starting with Friday when Jesus left Bethany. And he rested on, he's in Bethany with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. How'd you like to hang out with Lazarus after he rose from the dead? That's some fun story, right? So tell me the story again, you know. And then hang out for Saturday, rested. And then Sunday is the day that he entered into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. And that's Palm Sunday that we'll be talking about today. And then as you go through this piece of paper, you'll find he's going to have a busy week. He's going to clear the temple on Monday. He's going to address controversy and create controversy, speaking parables on Tuesday. He's going to rest on Wednesday. Thursday, the Last Supper. Friday, onto the cross. And then next week, we'll talk about what happens on Sunday. But this is an overview that you can look at and get the backdrop to what we're talking about today. So he's leaving Bethany, and you can see the arrow on the paper. He's leaving Bethany, and you see the arrow going up the road, coming from the southeast. That's where the story takes place today. So, as we begin reading, a large crowd is gathered, and they're anticipating his arrival. They're there for the Passover feast, and it kind of makes me think of how I feel when we get the family together for 4th of July and we're all waiting out there early, getting the best seats or for a parade or anticipating the arrival of a dignitary, maybe the president's coming into LAX or, you know, trying to see him. Maybe like when the shuttle went through LA, that was a big deal. Everybody crowded the streets. Or the Pope, right? When he goes in the Pope-mobile around the world. The air is charged with excitement. But they're not just waiting for any old person, are they? They're waiting for Jesus, the Messiah. They believe. Many of these people are familiar with the Old Testament, and they believe that he is a Messiah. They've seen his miracles. They've heard his teaching. He said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He's come as the Son of God to show the world who the Father is. And he's humbled himself to be a man so that he could walk this world and feel every feeling and every temptation and go through everything and be familiar with what we go through and then go to the cross for us. And they're waiting for him, the Messiah who came to save them. So let's look to the text today in the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to be in Chapter 21, if you'll turn there. Who has their owner's manual? Everybody have your owner's manual? Okay, keep it in the glove compartment. All right, so do you know why they call it a glove compartment? Well, back in the old days when there was no windshield on the cars, you had to wear gloves, right? On the steering wheel, Model A or whatever it was. Okay, so starting with verse 1, says, "When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.'" So when I first read this, I thought to myself, how would I feel about somebody taking my donkey? Right? It's like, whoa, what's going on here? I don't know. It's like someone coming up to me and say, "Hey, can I borrow your bike?" You know? I don't even know you, right? And but then they tell you, "The Lord needs it." Oh, the Lord needs it? Well, that sounds kind of important. Who's the Lord? You know? And at first I'd be like, what are you going to use it for? I mean, where are you taking my bike? You know, they're taking my donkey, right? I was just thinking about this last night. If you look over in Luke's account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he gives us a little more information on this. In Luke 19, look at Luke 19. In verse 33, and says, as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? Right? They said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt. So it's like, what are you doing? What are you taking my colt for? So, if they said the Lord needs it, I guess I would let them too, right? Okay, well, if the Lord needs it, okay, that's cool. Just bring my bike back, right? Or bring my colt back, or donkey. But then at the same time, I would be wondering, how do you know that? Who told you that? How do you know all this? What's going on here, right? At any rate, they did let him. Why? Because it's God that's at work. God is working in this situation. And I want you to think about that as we're reading this today. What is it going on in your life right now where God is at work and it seems a little mysterious, a little different, like you don't quite understand what's going on, but you really feel like God is in it and you can trust Him. Philippians 2:13 says, "It's for God works in us and through us to bring about His pleasing and perfect will." We'll find ourselves all of a sudden getting a desire to do something, or a desire to go talk to a person, or an interest in a certain line of work, or to live in a certain place, because He's working in us to bring about His plan. So that brings me to my first point in your notes. Trust God's plan. Trust God's plan. There's some great verses right here about plans. Some of us like to plan. Some of us like to just go by the seat of our pants. But God's got a plan. Psalm 33:11 reads, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation." He has a plan, and it will stand. He's going to accomplish this. It says in Psalm 16:10, if you go backwards a little bit, 16:10, "For you will not..." Oh, wait, no, that's not it. I put the wrong number there. Okay, let's go to the next one. Isaiah 25:1. Isaiah's in the Old Testament, right before Jeremiah. If you have to use the table of contents, that's okay. Isaiah 25:1 says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders." Here's the key. Plans formed long ago. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. How's that? He has plans that He's formed long ago that will happen, and He wants us to participate in these. Look at Acts 2:23. I put it on your sheet there. Acts 2:23. Do y'all know why I'm turning to the Bible so much? Anybody know why? Because you don't want to hear my opinion. You want to hear what God has to say about this, right? Amen? We need to read it. Okay, Acts 2:22-23. "Men of Israel," this is Peter speaking, "listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through Him in your midst." In other words, Jesus proved that He was God through what He did, the miracles, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the sick. He proved He was God. "Just as you yourselves know, this man," capital M, "delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put Him to death." So it was a predetermined plan that Jesus was going to go to the cross. We can trust God's plan. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, the plans for a future, for a hope that you will not be cut off." He had a plan for Jesus to save us all, and He has a plan for each one of us and how we fit in with this whole thing. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, created to do good things that He prepared in advance for us to do, that we might walk in them. So look at your neighbor and tell him, you got a plan. And God's got a plan. So, now, this particular event actually fulfilled prophecy about Jesus from the Old Testament in Zechariah 9:9. So, if we go back to Matthew 21. So it says here, after verse 3 and verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So the second point here is that Jesus is the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. He's come to save us, and it was announced in the Old Testament. Did you know that many of the prophecies have already come true about Jesus, and many are still coming true. And even just with a handful of them coming true, like 10 of these prophecies, is like filling the probability of those happening is like filling the state of Texas waist deep in quarters, putting a red dot on one and asking a blindfolded man to choose that one quarter with the red dot on it on the first try. It's like this gazillion probability against it. But these prophecies have come true about Jesus, and this is one of many, that he would come on a colt. He would come on a colt to verify that Jesus wasn't just another teacher. If you go to the shrine over here in Pacific Palisades and you go in there, there's this place where they have a statue of Buddha and the statue of Muhammad and the statue of Jesus and all the teachers. You know what? He doesn't belong in a group like that because he is God and they're all just men. And that's the difference. And every other teaching apart from Christianity will attack the deity of Jesus and try to make him only a man, just another teacher, just another rabbi. But he is in God incarnate. God in the flesh, and that is the difference. And when he came on the colt, when he came on the donkey, he is fulfilling the messianic prophecy that he is, in fact, Jesus, the Messiah, Son of God, who was there in the beginning. It says in John 1, he says, the word was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus and God are the same. They're the same. So this is fulfilling this. Now, and Jesus knew this, so he chose the donkey, actually a colt, a foal, one who had not been ridden, one that would be used for religious purposes. Those who knew the Old Testament scripture would recognize that he was claiming to be the Messiah by coming in on the donkey. You see that? So there's a method to this. He's not just trying to look humble, which is also one of the messages of riding a donkey. He's not just trying to look humble. The donkey, he's coming to ride as the Messiah, right? And the donkey symbolized, in addition to him identifying himself as the Messiah, symbolized humility and peace, contrasted with a war horse. Remember the movie War Horse? Contrasted with the big war horse, he's on the humble donkey, or a princely mount, which was what would be used in Davidic royalty in the time of David. The royal mount used by David and his sons was a mule, which is interesting to me. Jesus was the Messiah arriving as a humble king without the bling, right? He wasn't in a Hummer with blue lights underneath. Right, and his little entourage are on the side waving the branches, woo, with the bass going boom, boom, you know. Right? No, he came on a little little donkey, man. The king of the world, man, the one who made us all, who made the whole universe. Hello. Talk about humbling yourself, right? It's so cool, you know, we can trust God's plan even when it doesn't look right. Even when it doesn't make sense. But remember, those that knew the scriptures, it did make sense to them. because he's coming on the donkey to fulfill the prophecy. So, the Davidic messianic king from the house of David is Jesus. So let's read on in verses 6 through 8. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. So the crowds had come for the Passover feast, and they knew Jesus was coming, and many of them knew he was the Messiah. That's why they were shouting, Hosanna. So, wait, oh my, I got ahead of myself. Spreading the coats out was an act of royal homage. If you look in 2 Kings 9:13, they spread out their garments in front of the King Jehu. So this is something from the Old Testament that is still being done here in the New Testament. And the branches from the trees nearby would have been leafy branches. When it mentions palm branches, that's why they call it Palm Sunday in John's account. It says here, it indicated that if they brought palm branches, they would have come from Jericho because palm trees weren't native to Jerusalem. So when they got the trees from the area around where Jesus was coming in, they would have been just leafy branches. But the palm branches people brought for that occasion from Jericho. A little interesting tidbit there. But let me read on. I was getting ahead of myself. Now I'm going to get to verse 9. In verse 9, it says, the crowds going ahead of him, where all these coats were laid out and branches were followed, and they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The crowds had come. They knew he was Messiah. They're yelling, Hosanna. Which is derived from the Hebrew word meaning save, which is used in the Old Testament. So they are shouting, basically, save us, save us, save us, save us, Son of David, save us. And we all should be saying the same thing at one point in our lives. Save me, save me. How many have been in that pit in their life at one point, and they're like, save me, right? And he did. He did save us. He brings us out of the pit. Amen? He brings us out of the pit. Hosanna, save us. And then verses 10 and 11, when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So there was people that were there that knew who he was. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew Zechariah 9:9. They knew that the Messiah would come on a foal, on a colt. They knew that. And they were so excited. But many were watching Jesus from afar, and they didn't know him. And they're saying, so who is this? What's going on? Right? Who is this guy that everybody's so excited about? So my question to you guys today, do you know Jesus, or are you just watching from afar? Are you seeing the parade go by on Sunday morning? Well, actually, there's not one like there used to be. When I was a kid in Texas, everybody went to church, and we always knew there was like that one house where the kids are playing outside on Sunday morning. It's like, oh, there's that family that doesn't go to church. Remember those days? Well, that was back in the 70s and the 60s, and things have changed dramatically. But it's like, are we watching from afar or even from nearby? Or do we know him? What group are you in this morning? That's something to think about. It reminds me, I was in the Ukraine for 3 months, and our team was going out to the area right after the Soviet Union folded. And so it was open to preach the gospel, and we were going out and sharing our faith with people in the streets. And our team met a guy on a bench, and he was an artist, and he was drawing all these really horrific drawings of blood and guts and mayhem and, you know, just gnarly drawings, right? Depressing. And he was depressed. And so he started coming and hanging out with our group, and as far as we knew, he had said, you know, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. I believe in you. I believe that you died for me on the cross, and I believe that you rose from the dead, and I've come into my life. We believe that he had actually made that commitment and said, save me, Jesus. So he spent time with us for a couple of weeks doing outreaches around Ternopil, Ukraine. We would do dramas, we'd sing songs, we'd preach the gospel, give testimonies. And then one day I took two other guys with Sasha, Volodya and Pasha. Pasha is Paul. And we went out to get ice cream, and I said, Sasha, why don't you introduce these guys to Jesus and tell them how to receive Jesus, that if you believe that he rose from the dead and you believe what he said and you trust him, believe him and receive him, that you too will be saved. And he said, I never did that. I said, what are you talking about? You've been with us doing outreaches for like 3 weeks, giving your testimony. He said, well, you know, actually, I've just been watching you guys because I really didn't know for sure. And at least he was honest, right? And he was part of our team. And a lot of us are there in our lives. A lot of us have there. I list a bunch of verses there on point number 3. If you look at that in your notes, it says Jesus blank. Jesus saves is the answer there. Jesus saves. John 1:12 says, if you believe and receive, you'll become a child of God. It's one thing to believe. It's another thing to receive, right? If you look at John 3:3, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, born of the Spirit, he will not come into heaven. John 3:16, if you ever watched NFL, behind the goalpost for years that was held up there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but through me. And you may say, that is so narrow-minded. But I'm sorry, if you had cancer and a doctor came to you and said, I'm so sorry you have cancer, but I have good news. I have one cure. One cure. Would you look at him and say, well, I'm sorry, that's so narrow-minded. I need more than one cure. Well, no, of course not. You would be so grateful. Give me the cure. I'll go get to CVS this afternoon, whatever it is, right? Well, Jesus is the cure. Look no further. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father, but through him, no other way to heaven. That's why we're all here. Jesus is enough. He said, it is finished at the cross. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is done. The propitiation. I always think of Sylvester from cartoons when I say that. The propitiation. The satisfaction for the payment of your sins has been done by the blood shed on the cross. Blood for blood. Look no further. Look no further. Acts 4:12, if you look at that, it says there's no other name under heaven by which a man may be saved. There is no other name under heaven by which man will be saved. It's not going to work. If you go to the Mormon Tabernacle, it may say Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ on the front, but they don't believe Jesus is God. They believe Jesus was Satan's brother. That's a different Jesus. We're talking about Jesus who is God. Jehovah's Witnesses will say that Jesus was a God, not God, right? So it's very important that we understand that he came to save. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Then Romans 10:9 says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord of your life, you will be saved. Look at your neighbor and say, you want to be saved? Believe in Jesus. Receive Jesus. It's not complicated. But not everybody was shouting, save us. Not everybody was shouting, save us that day on Palm Sunday. Many were looking from afar and they were wondering, like Sasha did. And so that night, In the ice cream parlor, I led Sasha to the Lord. He believed and received. And then we led Pasha and Volya to the Lord, and they believed and received. And when I left the Ukraine, they gave me a belt, and on it they wrote, "No greater love is there than one who lays down his life for friends." And they wrote it in ink on that belt and gave that to me as a going away gift. And I had that in my closet. And I always remember these guys who trusted in Jesus because it was the truth. And they wanted truth because in the Ukraine, they have a Soviet history, they have a Nazi history, they have a Polish history, they have a Ukrainian history, and they don't know what to believe. But they could believe Jesus because history is his story. Amen? Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Let me in, let me in." But he's not going to bust down the door. He's just waiting for you to open the door. Come on. I want to come in and sup with you. Not stand up paddling. Sup with you, you know. Maybe that too if he wants to. Sup with you. Have communion. Have dinner. Hang out. Watch game two. Hopefully the Clippers can beat Golden State. Or something. He wants to be with you. Have community with you. Now, looking back at your handout that I gave you, you'll see the events of Passion Week are leading to the cross. By the middle of the week and the end of the week, many who were shouting Hosanna changed their whole tune and were yelling Crucify. Instead of yelling Hosanna, they're yelling Crucify. How could that be? How could that be? This makes me think about those who've gotten closer to Jesus, but they don't like what they hear. And I used to be one of those guys in Texas, hanging out on the beach, doing my different things that I would do so that I would numb the pain. And they would come witnessing to me. They'd say, "Turn or burn, you're going to hell." You know? It's like, "Oh, really? You want to twist a fatty?" I was like, you know, that was just me. And now me and those guys are like best friends. But back in the 70s, I didn't want to hear that I had to stop doing all my little things and put my stuff back in its plastic baggie and all that stuff. I wanted to continue living like I wanted to live. You know, it kind of makes me think about it. If you ever had who's had company come over to your house for a week before? Well, they stayed for a whole week. Not the first day, it's like, "Oh, so good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. Come on in." And after a couple of days, they start getting in your business a little bit. Like, "Really? Is that what you do with the kids? Well, I wouldn't do that. Oh, is that how you're spending your money? Oh, man, you guys are crazy. You should set up this account and that account." You know, and man, you guys, I cannot believe the way you have your kitchen set up. You know, it's like by the end of the week, it's like, "Come on, leave me alone." And by Friday, you're like, "Come on, would you just leave already? Didn't you have some place you had to go, some other relatives?" Well, you know, Jesus was getting in their business. You'll see in Passion Week, he comes and turns over the tables in the temple and says, "My house will be a house of prayer." You've made it a den of robbers. You're using it for business, for exchanging money. He's going to tell them things that really bug them. He gets in their business because the light has shone in the darkness. And that's what has to happen first. That happened in my life. The light came and shone in my darkness. And I was resistant. Until I got to a place where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. How many know what you're talking about? You wake up, the car's wrecked. Like, "Well, how'd that happen? I need some more information here." Right? That's when you know things are going sideways. And you need Jesus to come in and say, "You know what? Maybe my way's better." So in 1986, I gave my heart to Jesus like Joe's made his decision to do. And I said, "Jesus, I give up because my way is not working." And he changed my heart and my desire for life. And I've been talking about it ever since. How long has that been? 33 years. And I can't stop. And I found out that Jesus satisfies that thing I was trying to find so much. In all the parties and all the things I was doing, I was always a little empty. Not to mention broke and beat up. So, you know, Mark Twain said, It's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the things in the Bible that I do understand that bothers me. So if you've gotten close to Jesus, you're getting close enough to see what's happening. You're right there on the edge, like they were that day watching Jesus come in on the donkey. If you're right there, and his teaching is difficult because of your lifestyle, and I get that. I used to tell my mom, you know what, when I'm 30, I'll go to church, okay? I got things to do. I didn't quite make it to 30. I made it to 26. And I wish I would have done it so much sooner, but I just didn't get it, right? So that's why we're here today. Hopefully, the Lord will show you that this is the way to live. And to die, because then you survive death and go to heaven, which is wonderful, instead of hell. Who wants to go to hell? Do you know there's no party there? There is no party in hell. We're talking about going to heaven. Here's this. Remember this verse from Proverbs 27:6, that the wounds from a friend can be trusted, but the enemy multiplies kisses. It's like being on the Titanic and the devil's in the bar and you're running from the lifeboat and he's like, hey, come on in here. Let me get you a drink. But everybody's running, oh, no, don't worry. It's going to be okay. Here, let me get you a hurricane. You know, had a few drinks at the bar. It's cool, man. But everybody's running, oh, no, no, I got you. Here, let me get you another one. It's like the devil will lie to you because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will lie to you. No, it's okay. Just keep partying. Look, everybody else is doing it. Look on TV. Listen to the music. Look what everybody's doing. Really? Look at all the people that are not going to church. You think they're all wrong? Maybe. Maybe they really are. You know? We're in a largely unchurched part of the world. Santa Monica is the least churched city, I think, in America. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right. It's because Jesus has gotten into their business and they're not willing to turn and trust him. But here's the deal. Jesus loves you. That's all Billy Graham said for years, right? So packed houses, packed stadiums, so simple. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants the absolute best for you. The devil hates you. He wants you to die. He wants you to commit suicide. He just wants to do so many drugs, drink so much alcohol that you're totally in bondage and you kill yourself. And then he wins. More people are committing suicide in our country than are being killed through homicide. How many know somebody that committed suicide? Look at the hands. Devil wins those battles. If you go to Jesus, you win. So don't make a new plan, Stan, or hop on the bus, Gus. It's good to be courted, Roy. It's good to be courted. It's good to be courted with Jesus. Remember that old song? I'm aging myself. God's way is best. God, his way is best. He's come to give life in abundance. So Palm Sunday today marks the beginning of a week that's going to culminate with the most important events in history. And before I have Joe come up and tell us why he's here today with all you guys, and he's going to get baptized, I just want to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Jesus today. The Bible says today is a day for salvation. Why wait? I waited so long and I almost didn't make it. I remember one morning I was working on a movie set and I was driving on the 126. I had my Burger King for breakfast. That's how mixed up I was because I was working nights and sleeping days. And I looked down and I looked up and there was an 18-wheeler in front of me. I'd cross the stripe and I went with my steering wheel and it was, and I missed death by 1 second, and I did not know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. That's taking a chance, isn't it? Right? Why take a chance? And I'm not trying to scare you into heaven. I'm trying to scare you out of hell. How's that? Scare the hell out of you. Right? So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Let's think about Jesus' words. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. I've come to give you life, life in abundance. Christians pray. Those of you that know the Lord, pray, because we have people in all around us listening from different parts of the beach that are in different places in their life, and I understand that. I was there. Holy Spirit, just come with your love, with your presence. Open our hearts to understand you, to believe. If you want to not only believe today, but receive Jesus in your heart, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Don't be shy. I see that hand. Awesome. Says that the angels rejoice in heaven every time a sinner repents. And by the way, that's us. Anybody else? Today's the day for salvation. Okay, even if you don't have your hand up and you want to pray this prayer, it's really between you and God. It's for His eyes, not so much for us. I just would love to know so I can share the joy with you. Let's all repeat the prayer that we've said before and pray with those who are praying for the first time. Say, Dear Jesus, I believe in you. That you went into town on that donkey. And you went to the cross. And you died for me. You shed all your blood. And then you rose from the dead. So I believe what you said. Come into my life. With your Holy Spirit, I receive you. And help me live for you. And go to heaven. In the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap. Woo! Isn't He good? God is so good. Amen. I would love to meet you if you prayed that prayer for the first time. And if you didn't, and you're where I was years ago, and you're still thinking about it, you could do that later today. You could pray with Joe. You can pray with it by yourself. But I say, why wait? Amen? Okay, I'd like to have Joe come up. And he's going to give his testimony about why he's here to get baptized. Stand by me and we'll record. All right. So, Joe, tell everybody, why is everybody here today? What's going on anyway?
To witness something that's real, that's really going on in my life, something more that I haven't felt before, and it's real. I don't know where to start, you know. First, you know, thank you for this amazing church you set up on the beach to share the word of God.
Amen.
Just in the love of God. Look at all these people that come.
Praise God.
And thanks for this church group that I met because of you. Mm. The fellowship. It took 4 weeks to tell the importance of how fellowship is God. That's how we speak to each other. That's how we lift up each other. That's how we save each other. That's what we need, is the fellowship. And second of all, I got family here from Washington. I've got family here from all over the place. Compton. I've got friends from Oregon coming in to see this. Old friends, new friends. Chelsea in the back. I got people all around here to come see me get baptized. But really, it's not me. It's God doing this.
Amen.
God put this on my heart. He says, you know, be bold. And you know, I have a story. I'll run through it quickly if I have a little bit of time.
That's fine.
But you know, He says to be bold. And going through the story, I was led to the by the devil to the lowest spot of my life. And He says, be bold, share it. So I made this Facebook event page, where I put everything on the table. Something that I'd have been ashamed of before. But that boldness brought you guys together.
Amen.
There's believers, there's non-believers, there's atheists, there's everybody in this church right now. Because of God. Not me, it's because of God. That's amazing. It's beautiful. Real quick, my story is, where is he? Dennis, you still here? Dennis, there he is. Dennis, I was first saved in his music studio when I was 12 years old. He was teaching me how to play music, teaching me how to record, teaching me how to play the drums, which turned into the punk band, the STDs that we play in. My bass player in the house back here, a guitar player, should have made it. But he taught me how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. Well, at that time, I also started a punk band and was just riding shotgun with the devil. And at that whole time, I prayed. I prayed every day. I knew God. I knew him. God led me to, I became a general contractor. I own my own business. I don't advertise. He gave me a little job. He gave me a big job. He gave me a big job. Thank you for all the people here that I've worked with, that I've built for you. I don't advertise. It wasn't me that got me there. God gave me my skills, gave me my knowledge, gave me the know to do things right. I got so, I did like six of the restaurants on Pier Avenue. Walking down Pier Avenue is great for me. It's amazing what he's done for me. Well, until this last year, I was the busiest I've ever been in my whole entire life. I named my construction company STD Construction. We named it after the band. I wanted to support the band by making the construction company. I grossed over $1 million through my account. Me, I'm nobody. I didn't go to school for this. I don't know how I did this. Well, at the same time, I lost something. I lost it all. I did some bad accounting, and I came up about $150,000 in debt. And the devil led me to this place to where I didn't even tell my friends. I didn't tell my family. Hi, Mom. My mom. My dad's in church. Look at my dad. He's at church. Yeah. But I got led to this spot where the devil brought me to emptiness. Nobody knew. I was ashamed to tell people. That's what the devil does. He brought me to emptiness. He kicked me aside. I'm the happiest person I've ever known. For me, to contemplate suicide, I thank you, family. Everyone, you know, I put my testimony and they're like, Joe, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm okay. I really am. But for me, the happy Joe that you guys all know, to contemplate suicide, that's not me. Something's wrong. Something is really wrong. I needed help. I needed guidance. I needed something because what I'm doing was not right. It wasn't right. So I go on a clear my head bike ride one morning, trying to go to Venice. I rode past Church of the Beach. Sets up at 8:30, and I'm like, I'm broke. I'm hungry. I owe money. I'm like, I kept riding. I was halfway past the smokestacks before I turned around for coffee and donuts. It was coffee. I was hungry. I'll take some coffee. It was 10 weeks ago today. That my life has completely turned around. Not only are my financial problems going away, God's gifted me. He's given me jobs, introducing me to people at church, giving me work. I'm blessed. And he's taking away the depression, the fear,
amen,
the stuff that took my heart down and led me to the bottom. It's his glory.
Amen.
All of a sudden, I'm happy. I'm still broke. Okay, yeah, I still owe a little bit of money. You know, I got it. You know, but it's coming. It's coming. And for me to get up here and say, guys, I'm hurting, and be happy. Come on, is there something weird about this? You know, it led me to some of the most killer friendship fellowship I have. You know, fellowship with this church, connected with some old friends of mine. He's now a pastor, and he tells me, he's like, Joe, I'm gonna pray and fast for you. I'm like, you're going to what? I'm going to fast. I'm going to deny my fleshly desires to feed my spirit. I was like, whoa, dude. If you're fasting, I'm fasting. You know, no way. You got to fast for me. I ended up making it 3 days that time. Denied everything. It was on the third day that I drank water for the first time. And when I came out of that, I got attacked in my sleep. All of a sudden, I could see things. I got attacked by the devil. The devil was on my chest. He was ripping out my tongue, ripping out my throat, ripping out everything. I couldn't talk. And I was sleeping. I was sleeping next to Chelsea at the time. I'm like, Chelsea, wake me up. Help me. Help me. Save me. And I couldn't wake up. I couldn't wake up. And when I woke up, the devil stripped my faith. I wanted no more. Okay, I'm done. It was the most real thing. I'm not, this Bible, I have so much learning to do. I need to go so far with learning my word to to recite scripture because it's powerful. This is God's word.
Amen.
But what I do know and what I have felt is this spiritual warfare that goes on around us from that fast, from the attacks that I get. I prayed and I fasted. This is my third day. I'm going to turn in my fast today. I haven't eaten for 3 days, praying for this day to be blessed and to bless you guys to say the right thing and to allow God to work through me.
Amen.
To touch you guys, because this is real. You don't push God on people. God works in you. I've got a friend from Oregon. I've got family from Washington. My dad, this is working. It's not me. It's my story that works in with you and the fellowship of God that the words that I'm saying touches you and gets God moving in your life. I just encourage everybody to just love. You know,
Amen.
That's the one thing that God has taught me. And I've been really good at it, but now I'm great at it. I just want to love everybody. I want to hug from everybody. I want to see how everybody's doing. And that's real. I'm back. You can't take me down. Come on. So today, being baptized, I love everybody. And so being baptized, you know, it signifies, you know, being alive, because this is the devil's world. This is the devil's world from the day we were born. We were born into the devil's world. He runs this. And until we find what we need with Christ and come to Him, we're rolling with the devil. So this baptism, what it signifies and what it shows, is being just like when He came off the cross and He was reborn. When I come up from the water, I'm reborn.
Amen.
I leave my dead body, that devil body behind me, and my spirit is filled with Christ. And it's up to me to make those decisions to keep God in my life, and I'm going to, because it's the only way. Pastor
Amen.
Ross said it
Amen.
The best.
Amen.
Your service is fire, man.
Amen.
Your family is
Praise
amazing.
God.
The first day I get here, a bunch of kids up here singing worship songs. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And then as his wife greets me. And then the dad gets up talking about how stoked he is for his son catching big waves, saying gnarly in the service. My feet were in the sand. This is his church. His church is fire. This is amazing. This is like, you know, I've always said, I don't go to church because the beach is my church. The ocean is my church. I surf. I pray. I'm good. I don't need a church. Well, God answered me. He gave me church or the beach. Hey, here we are.
Woo! Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for coming, man. From far, from near, from everywhere. The believers, the non-believers, the ones that are just telling me to shut up right now. They're all here. They're all here to witness this. And it's God. It ain't me. It's God. He's moving. Let Him move.
Amen.
Feel it.
So, Amen.
I'm going to get baptized. And, you know, I was baptized before. But it's not a one and done. I have a great mentor. They said he was baptized 3 times in 1 year. I didn't know if he wanted me to say that about him. That's how rad Ross is. Come on, guys. 3 times in 1 year. It ain't one and done. It's not like I was baptized when I was a kid. I'm good. I don't need to be baptized. No, well, what did you do since then? What are you doing now? Do you need to be cleaned again? Do you need to be reborn? Put away the bad. Leave that devil body behind you and be reborn. You know, when I started doing this, you know, there's a lot of friends that were like, well, I'm doing it with you. They didn't even show up. But if you guys feel the urge to get baptized now, next week, any week, he's got a wetsuit in the car. He's ready to do it. No warning. Let's get baptized, baby. Come on. Let's do it.
All right.
Oh, God.
Praise God. Thank God for what's going on in Joe's life, right?
Thank
so
you,
cool.
You,
and I just want to say, I am so encouraged. There's nothing like new, just fresh fire, you know, coming into your fellowship, that newness with Christ. It encourages all of us. And he's been starting fires everywhere for Jesus. And I'm grateful for you, Joe.
It's
and,
not me, man.
Yeah, and all just like God. I was saying, He works in us and through us to bring about His will, because He loves us.
Yeah.
He's going to use us to reach each other. So we're going to go down to the water's edge, and we're going to have the worship team go down there. And I'm going to go put on my wetsuit. And then, Chris, are you going to come too?
Yeah. All right. One last thing, too. The person, Dennis, who saved me, he dedicated his life to Christian rock. And that's all he does. 20 years ago, he made his first Christian CD while he was saving me. It's touching to see 20 years later. It's got like 6 albums, and it's all Christian rock. He brought his albums. They're free to take. Go ahead and grab a CD. It's amazing Jesus music. Sorry to interrupt.
Amen. No, that's great. Thank you for bringing those.
And, you know,
awesome.
The things that he moved me is the prophecies, like you're saying, that come true.
Yes.
It's real.
Amen.
It's real, and he knows them.
It's verified.
It's right on, Denny.
Amen. So, and then if you want to leave your stuff here, there'll be somebody waiting here if you want to leave your personal items up here. And everybody else, we're going to go down there. It'll take me a couple minutes to change, and then we'll baptize.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Woo!
And
let's
I got
do
free
this.
Food coming, too,
and
afterwards. Stay around for free food.
Okay. Okay. That's powerful. Awesome stuff, man. Joe gets me so fired up. How are you, man?
Great.